If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. We'll be doing many live events this summer around the country, which will include artist interviews, contests, and more. Sign up for our newsletter at OSIRISpod.com to stay in the loop. Relix Magazine is a media partner of OSIRIS. For more, visit relix.com. The show starts now.
When I am old, old and gray, two steps closer to my grave, whispering pines and bitter nights, you'll be there to hold on to me tight. Through the forest, misty mountain, Adirondack Creek, and you and I. I'll hold on to your leathered hands, just me and my mountain. Hold on to your leathered hands, just me and my mountain man. Splintered wood outside our cabin,
listening to the trippy Mountain Man from Liz Cooper and the Stampede's record Window Flowers. We first heard about Liz Cooper and the Stampede from our pal Steve. He sent us a link to an Audio Tree live session and we liked it, and so too did over 220,000 other people. We've been jonesing to get her on the show ever since, and luckily with the release of her record Window Flowers, we indeed got a chance to chat. Our conversation started when I imparted the notion that a musician has their whole life to prepare for a new record and wondered how much time and care went into making this her debut.
Way too much, probably. It's that saying is definitely true. I feel like, unintentionally you start writing songs and you're just for the love of it, and that's how it should always be. But some of the songs that are on that record, I mean, really stem back to like 4 years ago or something like that. When I first moved down to Nashville, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I think when I first moved down, none of it really made sense to me. And I was in the mindset of, oh, I'll just move down there for a year, see how I like it, see if I can like figure out what I want to do. And I think I started to just like really enjoy writing. And so some of those songs came about, I mean, or maybe, I don't know if they fully got fleshed out during those first couple of years of me living down here in Nashville. But I think some of the ideas had started when I first moved down here. And then later on, maybe at the time when I started writing them, I didn't know what they meant. But then I think eventually it just started to make more sense to me. And they kind of just became the way that they became. But it's taken a lot of just writing and playing with different people and touring by myself to touring with, one other person, and then all of a sudden touring with a band to, all of a sudden we were just like, okay, we're ready to go into the studio. I think it's time. So it's taken a long, long time to get this first record grooving, but I'm really glad it's taken that amount of time.
I'm curious about the songwriting process from the perspective of you sitting down, likely with an acoustic guitar or maybe a piano, to write some of these songs. Probably an acoustic, sure. I would think.
I didn't write any of those on piano.
Yeah, when you're writing these songs, do you think about all the textures and layering that's going to happen, or is that really something that a producer and the rest of your bandmates bring to the table? Because there's so many throwback sounds and so many different influences probably in the way these songs came out from the time that you first wrote them on an acoustic. Is that?
Yeah. Basically, I mean, having a producer and different ears that aren't so much just in it all the time definitely helps bring a new perspective. And it definitely makes you just think a little bit outside of your own box. But when I write the songs, I mean, certain ones sound different to me, or like how I can envision them. But there are definitely a few songs on this record when I started writing them, I could hear other things happening. And so because we toured, we've been really touring with these songs for so long, we've really self-produced it in a live way, just playing bars and playing venues and all of these different places. You see how the crowd reacts to what you're doing. And also, we just, as we keep playing them, you're just like, well, maybe this would sound cool here. And so I feel like there was a lot of self-production, but also TJ Elias, our producer for this record, was definitely helpful in making us take a step back and trying some new things and new sounds that we would have never tried. But I mean, there were definitely like the strings and motions and the night. Those are all things that I heard like when I was writing them on my acoustic guitar. So it's just funny how certain things stand out to you over other things. But I think it's just your imagination runs wild when you're writing a song. And I think, you can contain that. And sometimes it gets away from you a little bit when you're writing. It kind of becomes overwhelming when you are writing a new song, because you're like, wow, I could do this and I could do this and I can do this. But then you're like, wait, no, you've got to just like focus on the song. I think it's so important. I can't remember who said it, but something about if you can deliver your song with just a vocal and acoustic, as well as you can deliver it with a full band. It's all about the song, something around those lines. But I really think that's really important.
So I'm curious about your influences in particular, because this record does have so many varied influences from, you know, I hear Velvet Underground, I hear Led Zeppelin, I hear all kinds of influence. I'm curious about specifically your influence and some of the things that either you grew up listening to in Baltimore or things that attracted you to becoming a musician. What were some of those bands and some of those sounds?
Yeah, I mean, definitely those two bands were an inspiration for me. I remember learning, you know, Stairway to Heaven on my guitar and you know, a bunch of other Led Zeppelin songs. But Lou Reed was always somebody that I looked up to. And I share the same birthday, obviously not the same year, as Andy Warhol. But I've always been interested in what he was doing. And a lot of Neil Young and the Beatles and the Grateful Dead, and those were songs, you know, especially the Beatles when I was little. So I remember sitting in my dad's truck when I was like, you know, 7 or something like that, just screaming "Can't Buy Me Love" at the top of my lungs. And yeah, so I mean, just a lot of the classic bands like that. And as I've gotten older, Neil Young has stood out more to me. I've never realized how much I love him and his songwriting and just, you know, what he's all about until I was like, wow, I guess I've been just listening to Neil Young so much. I've like never realized it. And yeah, so he's a big one for me. And, you know, Joni Mitchell and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I feel like a lot of those bands and artists and were really just inspirational to me. And then as I, you know, was starting to learn how to play the guitar, obviously there was, you learn the songs and everything like that too, because it's just fun to hear, you know, if you're at like at a party or something like that, and middle school and high school, people are going to be like, oh, play that, you know, I don't know.
Play Stairway to Heaven. I want to dance with that boy.
Stairway to Heaven.
So we can dance with that boy.
Yeah, or like play Jack Johnson. You're like, okay. And so you're just like playing all of these ridiculous songs. But I really got into just the bluegrass and folk. And I think that's what transitioned from me just like strumming to all of a sudden finger picking and classical music. I've always listened to classical music, and so I just became interested in playing in that style. And yeah, it's just been a progression of just, you know, being interested in different people and types of music at different times. And you know, I haven't always played the electric guitar. That was a newer thing. I started playing electric maybe 4 years ago at this point.
Wow.
3 or 4 years ago.
If there's a guy, if there's one in particular fellow that I need to find and beat up, because there are some love songs on this record, and you know, Mountain Man is lovely.
And right.
All touchy-feely. But Fondly and Forever seems to me like there's a guy who's taken advantage of you in the past, or at least your relationship. Is there somebody, is there one particular guy here, or are you talking about, you know, love more generally and relationships more generally?
No, there's not one particular person. It's probably a few over time, but, I think, you know, you just kind of learn as you go along. And, but love just in general as well. I like to write my songs for everybody to figure out how they can connect to them. So sometimes I'll write them and they're really personal. But all of a sudden, like when I'm writing them, I'm like, well, that doesn't really, I'm not quite sure what that means, but I'll write it anyway. And so, yeah, I wrote Fondly and Forever with Michael and Ben Forge. They're in a band called Air Park. And I feel like writing with other people, and we all try to be as vulnerable as we can, but I feel like when you're writing with other people, you're not going to be writing as personally, just because there's usually one other person's brain, or in this case, or two other people's brains in the mix. And so, you know, we all kind of chimed in and wrote this song.
You talk about working with other people to write these songs. There is a growing community of younger musicians that, you know, Raylan Baxter's a part of, and the Wild Feathers and Cage the Elephant and those sorts of people. I mean, Raylan grew up not too far away from where you grew up. Is that something that you talk about? Is that, you know, shared experience with some of these people that are in this sort of clique of yours that you're part of? Or is it just, you know, we all live in Nashville now and we're trying to make a go of it?
No, I feel like, especially over the past year, I've noticed more so of a community just than ever. I think everybody is really working with each other to write and learn from each other. And so all of those people, I mean, the Wild Feathers, especially, those were the first people that took us out on the road. And I think it was either 2015 or 2016. I can't remember, but Taylor Burns from the Wild Feathers, he called me and he's like, "Hey," and I guess whatever opening band that was playing with them at the time had a family emergency. And he's like, "What are you guys doing for the next 3-4 days? And we're like, "Nothing." And he's like, "Okay, cool." He's like, "Do you want to open up for us?" And so we got in the van and we drove, you know, I think it was like to Missouri and then Omaha, Nebraska and Denver and wherever else. So we just, they were, you know, some of the first people that believed in what we did, which was really amazing. And I don't see those guys as much anymore, but they're still, you know, a huge part of the community. And then last year, when I was doing my trying to just create every day, I ended up writing a lot with this band Okie Dokie and some people from The Weeks. And so at this house I always went to, a lot of people just were there hanging out all the time, and Raylan lived there, and you know, the Cage Elephant guys were always coming in and out. And and now I think, you know, we've all kind of gotten to know each other a lot better. And you know, I've played some shows with Raylan, and he's let me play guitar with him on stage. And it's been just a really cool community thing where there's a certain level of trust and also a certain level of just like pushing each other to, you know, just be as, just be as great as you can be. And it's really inspiring.
You're headed off on the road for a little fall tour here into the winter.
Mm-hmm. Just a little fall tour. Yep.
Just a little fall tour. Well, it's, you know, 3 months of your life. But who's counting? Well, you have October off, it looks like. You have October
off. I sure do,
yeah. Yeah. Is the plan to take Ryan and Grant with you, the Stampede, and then and then are you going to add other people to the lineup, or is it just, you know, you and the Stampede sort of?
No, usually, I mean, I think as our music grows, and we may grow, but Ryan and Grant are my main guys, and we've been playing together. I mean, Grant's been playing with me since the beginning, and we had a drummer, Kai Baker, that was in it from the beginning until the end of last year. And so Ryan Usher is now playing with us. He started in January, but we try to keep it, you know, just the three of us most of the time, because we just know how to work really well with each other out on the road, and really having three people is so easy. And, you know, we've just locked it in. I feel like are most comfortable just playing as the three of us. But, you know, as the songs grow and as things just kind of grow and progress, I've always imagined my music with more people. It's just, it was three because, you know, when I first started booking shows and trying to just play around town and anywhere I could play, that was the minimum I could get of people to play with me. You know, I was like, okay, well, I can start playing the guitar. And I was like, all right, I've got a bass player and he can sing. And I was like, great. I've got my drummer. And I was like, cool. Like we can just start seeing if we can make it work.
Right. Right.
And so that's kind of what we did. We just tried to make it work. And, I think because we got in a habit of playing so much, and it could have been, I don't want to say it's lazy, but, you know, the three of us worked well together. And so it's been so much easier keeping it that way. And, I would say it's probably more powerful right now with just the three of us than it would be, four or more, but we do definitely like to have other people join us on stage. And our release show this weekend, we played at the Blue Room at Third Man Records. And, my really good friend and roommate, Scott Schmatke, played keys with us the whole show. And, we had a few violin players and cello players join us for the Night and Motions. So it is really fun when we can do something special like that and have other people join us. But for touring purposes, I feel like the three people is ideal.
I'm sure out on the road with Handmouth and Mountjoy and Phosphorescent, you'll have a chance to add more musicians to either your set or join them for yours. Thanks so much for taking the time. Thanks for a really gorgeous record. Window Flowers is a beautiful record. Dalai Lama. I mean, I could go on and on and tell you about how awesome your record is, but we'll let people listen to the record and thank you and make sure that you see Liz and the Stampede out on the road. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Given her life on the road, the talented people she hangs with, and the songs she writes and performs, I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more from Liz Cooper and the Stampede. She has an absolutely unmistakable sound, and her guitar playing along with the talent of the Stampede will take her even further. For tour dates, album info, and more, visit LizCooperAndTheStampede.com. As we leave you, have a listen to another trippy number. This one, our favorite from the new record, Dalai Lama. As much for the great writing as for the overall performance.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.